Tom Karkel in the WRJN News Center. Forecast for today, clouds will be on the increase. We will get to a high of maybe 47 degrees. Kenosha right now is at 35. It's 34 in Burlington, 36 Milwaukee, 35 degrees in Racine. Kenosha police are investigating what's classified as an industrial-related death. Fire department paramedics and officers responding to Affiliated Foods at 5521 88th Avenue about 7:15 last night. The report was there was a workplace injury. A PD news release says that a 25-year-old male worker was found dead from blunt trauma. Witnesses reported the man had been operating a piece of machinery. He may have become unconscious at that point and then fell from it, which led to the trauma and his death. There were witness statements and evidence collected. Otherwise, the name of the victim has not yet been released. The Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation Board expected to vote next Wednesday on a staff review that forms the basis of Foxconn's tax incentive contract with the state, based on the agenda for the meeting posted on the group's website. Now, there is no reference specifically to Foxconn or the Electronic and Information Technology Manufacturing Zone program being used to award the company that $2.85 billion in refundable tax credits. The agenda does include a closed session, however. BizTime says the board generally approves staff reviews, then the agency executes a formal contract with the company. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, both stating this week that the WEDC board should be able to review the contract. It has been nearly 2 months now since Governor Walker signed the Foxconn bill. Related to that, the Foxconn bill and the incentive package and the contract with the state, a couple of state lawmakers, they're not all that concerned about the lack of passage at this point. Robin Voss says he's still confident that Foxconn will come to pass.
Biggest concern that I heard from my constituents as I listened to the ones who had questions about whether the investment in Foxconn was worth it is to make sure that they create the jobs they promised, that the tax incentives don't happen unless jobs are created, and that if for some reason they fall short, there's a clawback to make sure that taxpayers are protected. All of those are being negotiated in the contract that will ultimately be signed. So I would rather have them take their time and get it right than to try to rush it through and then regret it later.
Democratic Representative Peter Barca from Kenosha making it clear that he believes the deal will eventually be signed.
One never knows. Obviously, until the negotiations are complete, you don't have a deal. So I think it's still very likely that it would go forward. But there are still some important issues that have to be worked through.
Of course, Barca used to be on the board of directors for the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. He was replaced recently as part of the Assembly Democrats' recent leadership struggle. As member of the legislature, Barca voted for the Foxconn incentives package. Most of his Democratic colleagues did not. The former Ajax Industrial Complex site, north and east of 16th Street and Junction Avenue in Uptown Racine, moving right along these days, but with some tweaking of the project components going forward. Development Director Amy Connolly telling the Redevelopment Authority it's no longer going to be an historic rehab for Cardinal Capital Development as originally designed, but rather geared at market-rate residential units, also some housing designed and priced for veterans.
They have been working on their financing method. They were able to acquire the adjacent Pabst Pub at 1300 16th Street, so it's a really interesting building. And they're looking to continue to look to develop 72 units of housing for veterans and market-rate housing. So they decided that a historic rehabilitation project would be too costly, and plus with the extra complications of not being able to potentially use historic preservation tax credits, they're going to look at market rate options.
She added that Cardinal Capital looking into the options for the new market tax credits that would include a culinary incubator.
That would house several different kitchens and would allow food trucks or food-based businesses to be located there and to operate out of that kitchen. It's an identified need, desperate need in our community for culinary space for innovators and people that are wanting to produce food type of products.
Cardinal Capital got on board after Herman and Kittle, but it won't be the six dozen housing units Herman and Kittle had proposed just for veterans originally. The Shalom Center of Kenosha is considering a proposal by the foundation being formed by the family of L.A. Chargers running back Melvin Gordon, one-time Bradford star, to address a lack of affordable housing in the Kenosha area. The Shalom Center's executive director is Lynn Beese Carroll, who says she has met with the Gordon family and feels that the two organizations could work together to help find people transitional housing.
And we have looked at their proposal, and we think anything that allows families and individuals to move into stable, safe, housing is a good idea. So the transitional, the modification of these containers into a transitional style home is really an interesting concept for us.
Shipping containers would be used as part of the housing project. Beast Carroll says the Shalom Center's board will begin a new round of strategic planning on that soon that could be incorporated. Fire at a Racine County home in the 1300 block of West Highway G in Raymond that we told you about yesterday resulted in about $100,000 estimated damage. How it began, reportedly up on the second floor, that is still under investigation. The first floor tenant, who'd been asleep when the fire began, got some on-scene medical attention for smoke inhalation, according to the Sheriff's Department. And fire departments and law enforcement agencies all across Southeast Wisconsin urging you, the public, to check smoke and carbon monoxide alarms for working batteries when you turn the clocks back an hour early Sunday morning. City of Racine is moving ahead on developing what was known as the Machinery Row Project site, now being called the Water Street redevelopment effort. One developer, of course, failed to deliver on properties acquired. A second company couldn't secure needed tax credits from the state on another component. The Redevelopment Authority heard from Development Director Amy Conley, who said the city and General Capital Development agreed to part ways on the 615 Marquette Street building, which is now likely going to be torn down in the near future.
The 615 Marquette building does not qualify for historic preservation tax credits or a designation that would allow them to qualify for those tax credits. The building is neither architecturally significant, nor was there anything that we can determine famous or infamous or important that happened there. It was primarily used as a warehouse for most of its life.
She said in addition to the state legislature and the governor clamping down on historic tax credits, the new federal tax plan appears to eliminate them at that level altogether. The new emphasis on the old industrial corridor is going to be including taking down buildings and preparing the 27 acres, including environmental, to make it all ready for possible development. Racine Redevelopment Authority approving a couple of white box program applications. That's two more onto the list of about a dozen now for helping deal with some of the infrastructure of older buildings. Kimberlyn Bonner looking to open up a breakfast and lunch Southern cuisine restaurant at 327 Main Street. It'll be called Mrs. Betty's Kitchen, possibly opened within the next couple of months. And Tom Bain's application is for a long vacant building at 411 Main Street, a business to be called Eye Openers, owned by Ken Brown. The White Box program offers a grant of up to $20,000 for qualifying applicants. This began with $100,000, which was used up fairly quickly. So the Common Council then approved another $150,000 toward that effort. Meanwhile, there's a new website and logo and branding called Build Up Racine for the City Redevelopment Authority to use these days. It focuses separate attention on what aspect of city government and all that goes with development. But Alderman Sandy Widener had a question. Is it also designed to replace the existing city logo?
Now I understand the action taken by the RDA no longer comes to the council for approval, and I'm very concerned that this new logo has supplanted our original City of Racine logo. So I guess my question would be for whoever could answer the question, if the intent of that logo to supplant the City of Racine logo.
RDA member Jenna Damsky-Torres joining Chairman Jim Spangenberg and Development Director Conley in stating the new logo is not a replacement.
From a marketing perspective, co-branding is a very common thing for municipalities and for businesses to do. So I can appreciate your concern, and I'm sure we'll, take that into consideration to make sure, but that's very standard kind of practice when you're looking to brand economic development initiatives.
Connolly said the new logo, brand, and website only for development and redevelopment efforts, for which he indicated there's already, quote, incredible positive feedback, unquote. And the Kenosha branch of the NAACP is holding its annual Freedom Fund dinner and awards program at the Parkway Chateau at 12304 Highway 50 tomorrow night. Guest speaker is going to be the Honorable Maxine White, the chief judge for Milwaukee County. Her comments to focus on civil rights in Wisconsin, the need to stay the course on criminal justice reform, jobs, and fair housing, among other issues of concern to the group. The John Wright Justice Award will go to local attorney and Kenosha County Board Supervisor Terry Rose. Judge White, by the way, has been the chief judge for Milwaukee County the last 2 years. There's ticket information for the event at 262-374-0888. WRJN.com is our webpage. Our newscasts are there in podcast form in the local news section. Also, throughout the day, at WRJN News, we'll get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Carco, WRJN News.